Blog Talk Radio.
Red Reality Show, and tonight it's Maniac Monday with Michelle Custa and Ron Red.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursday and Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Monday, we have the honor to bring in the first house guest to ever come on to my show, and one of the most controversial house guests ever to walk in a red leotard in the Big Brother house, Michelle Custa.
Well, tonight we have a great show. Welcome to everyone in the chat room, all the guests that's listening. Welcome. Welcome to the Red Reality Show. Call in at 347-237-5506. But anyways, and when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Manic Monday on the Rad Reality Show. Today is April 16th, 2012. So if today is your birthday out there, happy birthday. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight along with Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Paul? Did all the storms move away from your area? Paul, you didn't get blown away, did you? Paul?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
I don't know what's going on with you, Paul. That's happened lately a few times.
I'm sorry, I did it again. I turned the, I muted my microphone. I am so sorry. No, I lucked out with the storms. They just missed me, and they were hitting you about the same time down in St. Louis, and you fared fairly well as well, so we're both kind of lucky.
Absolutely. Well, we also have the wonderful host of our show, the social butterfly, the Portuguese princess, that brightens everyone's Mondays, Miss Michelle Custa. How are you doing today, Michelle?
I am fantastic. I'm not going to lie. You can tell by my voice that I had a very interesting, full of fun, and lots of things happening that I can't wait to share with you all. I hope that you're ready out there. What's going on, Cherry and Paul?
Manic Monday returns.
Oh, yeah.
We can't wait to hear all your stories.
Oh, my gosh. And there's so many of them, you know. And I'm exhausted thinking about it. So Hope you guys have, like, your wine out there, a lot of it.
Hey, you guys listening to the show, I know you realize sometimes Michelle is watching the chat, although she's not in the chat tonight. She is not able to, so I'm going to tell her some things when you mention it. And Freaky Mom, my Tina, said she loved her sweaty hug from you.
Oh, gosh, it was sweaty. It was sweaty, yes. But she loved every minute of it, I'll tell you that. She was like, yay! Oh, my gosh. Tonight's show is going to be epic as usual. I mean, we have Philip Shepherd, the specialist. And he might be wearing his famous pink underwear.
All right.
From Survivor, he will be calling in. He was in Temecula as well. Had a pleasure hanging out with him, talking to him. And let me tell you, he is going to just rip it up in here tonight. I have a good feeling. And then I was also told by the fabulous LaJuan that he will be calling in. Mr. LaWonderful, LaHandsome, we don't know, LaWonderfied. But he is married to entertainment, so you know he's going to bring it. So... I'm pretty excited about it. And, of course, at near the end of the show, we'll be obviously talking about Mob Wives. Oh, my God.
Mob Wives. Yay.
Oh, my God. 2 weeks we didn't have it, but did they give us a whole lot yesterday?
Yes.
They did. They did. I'm just glad to hear, Paul and Cherry, that none of you guys blew away.
Oh, my gosh. It was pretty bad here. I mean... It stormed and it stormed and it stormed, and we had high winds. We had about 30 minutes where we had 60 mile per hour winds, and it was rough at times, but we hung in there. We hung tight, and we're still standing.
Any was there any damage anywhere, like around you, or there was nothing that happened to your home or anything, correct?
No. We're still good. My Blues flags are still flying. All my St. Louis Blues flags on my front porch hung tight.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Good to hear that. I mean,
yeah.
I was watching, actually, whenever I got, like, 2 minutes in the room, and the only thing that was on, they were talking about that. So I was like, oh, my gosh, you know. The weather wasn't bad in Cali, like it was there, but it wasn't the California weather that you all think of. It was not good. Last year was 90 degrees there. This year it was like 50s, and it was raining like a lot of the time. So
I told you.
Yeah.
I gave you that forecast.
I was hoping it wasn't true.
Would love to talk with you.
Oh, great.
Christina, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Christina, my Tina.
Hello, that was pretty crazy, that rain, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was rain. Luckily I just finished the golf tournament before it started pouring like that, but it was like misty showers like throughout the entire golf tournament. But on the day of the race, it was pretty nice. There was a couple times it sprinkled, but I was happy about that because I was sweating and it was hot and... Oh, it was a very awesome race, too, by the way, but, yeah. Christina, did you have fun, girl?
I did. I had a lot of fun. It was fun. We sat in the stampede for a while and watched the contestants come in riding the bull.
Yes, that's where I saw you, actually.
Yes, we just kind of parked ourselves in there, and then some awesome, spicy person encouraged me to go on Super Pass, and I don't think I'll ever live that down.
Why?
Oh, my gosh, you went on Super Pass?
Yeah, I was. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I don't know why you're saying I'll never live that down. I was telling Michelle that it was Pepsi Rich and Christina that were sitting on one of those beautiful benches.
Yes, we were.
So, so what happened on Super Pass? You made your debut?
I guess. All I know is they said, okay, we're going to get Rich up there. And I said, oh, go for it, Rich. And I said, I'll stand over here with Wendy. And I heard, no, you're not. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And I heard, nah, you're coming to sit right next to me. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, Super Pass is pretty awesome. So they're wonderful. They're so make you feel so comfortable. Like, so I enjoy every time I do an interview with them and sit down and talk to them.
Yeah, and Michelle, not you, Michelle, but the other Michelle, I said spicy person, not feisty person. yeah, it was just very, awkward. I don't know, because I wanted to take my sunglasses off, but the sun was right in our face. It was just kind of, but it was so cool because we walked up there and Chelsea gave us headbands, wristbands, the water bottle, and then told us to, you know, go on. And then we were on camera. I'm like, I'm not wearing my headband on camera, but Rich did.
You better. You didn't wear it?
I wore my wristband on my wrist, and I showed it, but I didn't wear my headband.
Oh, you should have wore your headband. You should have pulled your socks up and just 80s it out.
All right, and people posted pictures of me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, people, that is so not sexy. I'm sorry. I looked terrible. But
no, you didn't. You're too hard on yourself, girlfriend.
But
Jeepers,
did you see
you look fabulous. And I don't know what happened. Did you go on the bull when I didn't see you or something?
You know, someone dared me to ride the bull, but I didn't want to.
Oh, you should have rode that bull, girl. No, but you guys picked a good spot because you guys picked a spot that was located in a bar.
Yeah, and it was
so
a great.
So you guys had some alcohol?
I don't drink alcohol, so I had none. But what was really cool was, what was it cool? Oh, that I finally got a picture with Dick. That was awesome.
Oh, yes,
wow,
Evil Dick.
Cool.
Yes, that's a great pick, definitely. Well, yeah, Evil Dick was there. It was a pleasure seeing him. You know, especially I liked seeing him when he had to wear all these crazy outfits. During the competition, we had to do this Western thing, and he was actually blindfolded, and he was, like, walking around with this, like, dress on. Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious, but it was a great time. Who else did you meet, Christina?
Well, you. No. I
well,
met the important
course.
People. I met the important people. No, it was fun. I met the whole Super Pass crew, which I had never met. Sorry, I'm reading chat.
So you never met, did you, is that the first time you met Chelsea or
yes.
Kevin?
Kevin I met at the rap party.
Okay.
I parked next to Kevin. I could admit that I parked next to Kevin.
Christina, you're talking about Eddie and Matt and those people as well?
Yes.
I tell you, though, Michelle Costa, I can't wait for her to say this, but because she didn't say it right away, but she posted a wonderful picture of her in between.
Yes, Brennan and Rachel.
Rachel and, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was so funny. I realized it last night, but I was kind of, I walked up and there was these people with their kids and they were talking to Brennan and Rachel and this other people were just seeming to take a while and they were sort of in front of me and I just jumped in and said, hey, Rachel, can I take a picture with you? Like, I jumped in front of people with kids. I was laughing at myself. I am not a bold person. So unless I have, like, Michelle, I know you, so I'll go up to you and say hi. I'll cheer you on. You'll see me shout. Anybody else, I'll go, like, hey, way to go. You know, I'm not going to walk up and talk to you. In fact, Dick went over and sat by himself because he was smoking a cigarette off to the side. Someone goes, go over and talk to him. It's your only chance. He's by himself. I said, I'm not going to do that. And they're like, why not? He'll talk to you. I'm like, I'm just not going to do that. And
but
like,
you did
why?
It anyway.
I did not do it. I was afraid.
Girl, opportunities all around, and you're just like, no, no, no. But that was a bold move, though, cut in front of those kids.
I know. it was so funny, but I took a picture with Brendan and Rachel, and I had taken a picture with Rachel at the rap party, but never Brendan, and Brendan just was not looking good after the race. Poor guy.
He was sick. Like, a lot of people got sick.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
It was so funny, a lot because of who I was standing with, which was Pepsi Rich and his wife and Jeremy. Just because of who I was standing, which people came up and started talking to us, and I'm just sitting there nodding. You know, like,
nice.
Christina, did you happen to meet Philip Shepherd when you were, how about that transition, Jerry? Did you happen to meet Philip Shepherd when you were out there?
I saw him run by me. I said, hey, way to go.
Before you go, you're going to have to say hello to him because
he
has... Are you going to pick him up there, Jerry?
Hello?
There you go.
Thank you so much for calling in to the Red Reality Show, Philip Shepherd. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's great to be here, better known as the specialist, I might add. Even though I am Philip Shepherd, I am the specialist in Survivor World.
How are you, the specialist?
Yes.
Hey, Philip, what's up? It's Michelle. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm just, you know, coming back from Reality World. Rather Reality Rally here in Temecula, and we had a great event out there, raised a little bit of money, and had an opportunity to be able to give back, you know, and help those with breast cancer. So it was a fabulous opportunity to get out there and be a part of all of it.
And it was. It definitely was fantastic. I mean, the main focal point for me, which made everything make sense, and I think, Philip, you'll agree, is when we actually got to go to Michelle's place.
Yes.
And they showed us, they talked about everything in the place. Now, let me give you a little background story. They started off, there was like 200 square feet, okay? The place that we were in was 3,500 square feet, okay?
Whoa!
So, yeah, and what it is, it's a place for anybody that, you know, can't afford to get a mammogram, has breast cancer, and doesn't know the steps to take, basically just a shoulder to lean on, somebody to talk to, you know. It's a very traumatic time, and at that time, you know, you need all the help you can get. So you go there, and you can go, there's a library that's got full of books so that if you need to, like, read about your, you know, your cancer or how to deal with it with family, they have, like, different, like, yoga sessions and workout sections because when they get the surgery, they get really weak up top, and they need to make sure they build that strength up. And they have wigs, all array of wigs that people can have. And it was amazing, but the main thing for me was that video fell up. Huh? It was
The video
just
was amazing. It kind of talked about different women and their struggle and what they get out of coming to the Michelle's place. It also had, which was, you know, I wasn't aware of, but it was great to find this out, which is that a woman that's under 40 years old, who doesn't have health insurance, and she goes in and she finds out she has breast cancer, they're basically turned away. You know, they're not given what they need to get the testing and to get the treatment that they need. So Michelle Play steps in and pays for some of that cost. Now, they're able to negotiate and get, you know, dramatically reduced rates. I think it was like a 40 or 50% reduction in the cost. So that's what these monies are used for, that we raise, you know, and that the people donate it. It's, again, to help these women, and particularly those that can't or are least able to afford it. So it was really, really touching to meet the women, to meet the people that are participating in it. You know, Michelle's family was there, you know, who the place was built in honor of. Some of the women who had been through cancer and had come through it, there was like one or two of them there. And it was just a very, very moving, you know, experience. And that's why I go to all these events. You know, that,
hey, Philip.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Paul. I co-host the show with Cherry Garcia, and obviously Michelle Koss is the star of our show. But what I watched some of the feeds from Superpass, and almost to a person, I loved how each and every one of you always talked about Michelle's place. It was obvious that you were all impressed and moved by the great work that they're doing. And I know Michelle Costa went to the event last year, and she, all the stuff going on there, one of the things that she said was her main highlight was going and visiting Michelle's place. So what a great job Jillian does, and what a great charity.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that moved me so much also was the people that I ran into at this charity. I mean, they all seem to be, you know, just so warm and giving, You know, I'm talking about the fans that show up for that event. It was just amazing to me.
Well, speaking, I just want to interrupt real quick here, Philip, because just as you came on, we were actually talking with one of the people, one of the fans that attended on Saturday, and she's on the phone still, and I wanted to give Christina a chance to say hi to you, Philip.
Oh, hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you? I saw you running by, and I cheered you on, and that's the most I saw of you, so it was kind of awesome.
Well, thank you so much. That was very nice of you, you know, to cheer me on, because as you know, I came in first. 41st,
that is. I was there when the first place team came in. I was going to say, wait a minute, no. I didn't see your fabulous pants when you ran by.
Oh, that's what I tell everybody, because it was. When I came in, they said, you're 41st. And I thought, well, I can go back and just say I was first.
That's hilarious.
I have to say that, Philip, you and Michelle had the most fabulous pants ever.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's, again, it was an honor to be invited by Jillian. It was an honor to, you know, to get the fans to raise, you know, that the support me and my effort. I was one of those who raised, you know, over $1,000 in money, you know, to go. And in fact, I sent some pictures off today. One of the things that I did on my own was that I autographed some pictures and sent them into the fans who I knew who were unemployed. You know, they were telling me they were unemployed, but they still managed to donate $5 or $10, and they just couldn't attend the event. So I was doing that today. I made sure I got all those off today. That was, you know,
oh, that's awesome.
So I'm looking forward as I, you know, I have to tell you again, and tell me if I'm being too winded here, but basically, you know, when I was driving back, I was, again, having my own private moment of just being so moved. And the, you know, by first of all, the effort that Jillian puts in to put this together, I swear to you, I'm not just
saying
it. I was just like, holy cow, the detail to the T. The organization, I mean, this is real, real passion. And I said, if I ever get back to Survivor to go participate again and I win the $1 million, I'm going to make a significant contribution to Reality Rally and Jillian's effort for Michelle's Place. And I do, you know, expect to get a call in the future here to come back and hopefully go back and win it. But that will be the underlying motivation for that charity and one other one that's very dear to my heart. And if you don't mind, I'll just say one thing about it, and that is...
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It's Give the Kids the World. It's down in Celebration, Florida. It's a worthy charity. It's where they go in and they take the entire family of sick kids, who won't make it, but they've created this whole community, and they come in. And, you know, the Reality Stars go down there, and we raise a lot of money. I went to that one last year, and it's one of those very interesting situations that go on with you. One, you meet kids who are very, very ill, and yet they're so excited to meet you. So in your mind, you know, you're looking at them, and they're looking at you, and you can see the joy and the excitement from them and their family. And then, of course, at the same time, you're having a moment of tears because you realize that this might be this kid's last time they see you. Like next week, a lot of these kids won't even make it. So
that's crazy.
But it touched me so dearly, and I'm like, okay, this is my new calling. You know, whatever happens for me going forward, I'm going to always be involved in something like, you know, Michelle's Place and Celebration in Florida to help raise funds for Give the Kids the World and other charities that I'm also involved with. But these, in particular, where they're life and death, you know, situations, those really do touch me. And
so this is Cherry Garcia. My husband and I are hoping to go down to Give Kids the World in Celebration, Florida this year. So hopefully I'll get to meet you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be there.
You won't be there this year?
I said I will be there.
Oh, you will be there. Okay, I was going to be disappointed there for a minute. hopefully I will be able to meet you there this year. Yeah, that will be our first time going to Celebration, Florida, and I've heard so many wonderful things about that event that
I
just want to be able to go down there and experience that firsthand.
Well, I'm going to say, when you go to that particular event, you're going to be feeling it like me. You're going to have to be uninvited to the event because it's such a joy to be able to give back in situations like that. I have to tell you, I gave my original buff to a child that was there, and
wow.
It was great. I could see the joy that came on that face. So
I have heard so many good things about that event. People say, why would I go down to hot and steamy Florida in the middle of the summer? And that's the reason, the joy that you bring. And I would imagine you would sit there and go, who am I? Who am I to, you know, to bring this happiness in their faces? But who cares who you are?
I'm the specialist. That's who I'm at. So seriously, you are absolutely right. You know, when you see them pop up, I dress as a pirate. When you go visit, people go to see my web on my Facebook account, I have a picture, you know, that the wall picture is a picture from Celebration, Florida. And you see me with two kids, and it tells the story right there. These two
That's
kids
wonderful.
Are right there standing with me. Their faces are so excited. There was nothing that could go on my wall that just, you know, that could express what I, you know, my mother succumbed to cancer when I was like 19 years old. So, you know, there was nothing that could represent, you know, the joy that I was feeling at the time with those kids and those two kids that are standing there in front of me. So if you get a chance, go to visit Philip William Shepherd on my Facebook page, and you'll see the picture. And it's like, okay, I'll be going to Jillian's, Michelle's place, and other things, you know, where I feel like I can make a contribution. And if I'm asked and I have the ability to get there, I will be there to support it any way I can. So it was great, you know, to participate and meet some people that I had in some other reality stars. By the way, there was like a 95 to 100 other reality stars. So it just shows you that, you know, yeah, we go on TV, you know, we show a little bit of our insanity from time to time.
Just a little, right?
Just a little. But at the end of the day, it's all for good causes like that. And if we can, you know, take that celebrity and do something with it, that's, you know, that's what it's about.
That's exactly what I say all the time, Philip. And, you know, we did have a great time this weekend. How did the race go for you? What was your kind of whole take on the kind of amazing race style? Did you find it that you were like, you know what, I went on Survivor, let me try this amazing race for real?
I loved it. You know why? Because then I came back, and the first thing I did was take up bragging rights. You know what? They had this challenge. It was this thing called, like, the alligator challenge, and you have to take these boards, and you have to lay them down in a certain kind of way. And you know what? I figured it out. I could be on an amazing race. That's why I came back and told my son.
That's so funny. Yeah,
you
that
know,
was a very hard, that was a hard one. But once you figured it out, then you were good. But that was difficult.
Yes, I did it very quickly. That was one of the ones I was able to figure out, you know, pretty quickly. I let somebody in my team originally try to do it, but they kept dropping the planks in the swamp. And I was like, let me take the lead on this. And they did. And I was like, woo, I kind of figured it out pretty quickly. But there were others. It seemed relatively simple that I, you know, that were more difficult. But I did enjoy, that was the other thing that I enjoyed about it, was that it was just amount of activity for us to do that we got to, like, I got to meet different fans at each one of those locations and, you know, have an interaction with them. You know, that's what they were there for, and, you know, help raise funds for Michelle Play. So, you know, another way of giving back, again, was to meet some of them and, you know, have a few moments where I waited my turn, you know, with our team. So I loved it. I thought it was a great format. The fact that it was over, you know, the city of Temelica, you know, the downtown area like that. It just felt so good. And at
yeah,
no time was I bored or, you know what I mean? Sometimes you could get like, this never happened to me, but I could see where if it wasn't as well planned as it was, you know, it could have been made for a very long day. But at no time did I feel that. It was just like everything seemed to move at the appropriate, you know, pace. And it was great to participate.
It was a lot of fun.
Philip, before Christina, the fan that you talked to just a bit ago, has one more question before she has to get going. Christina, go ahead.
It was actually for Michelle, and I saw that Reality Totes is in the chat room, that Michelle noticed that I had my Reality Tote bag. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people asked me about my bag, and I told them where I got it.
That's right. That's right. RealityTotes.com. When Ellen makes one makes one of those man bags, we're going to have Philip be one of our models.
Yes, yes. I think you should. I think you should because it is totally awesome because I had people saying, well, where'd you get that bag? And I told them, and then Michelle pointed at me because she saw my bag, and I told people, I'm like, wouldn't you buy a bag if they came here in a booth? And they're like, yes, that would be so
cool.
Do they have one?
All the proceeds of the bags go to help out a little girl that, how do you say that disease again? What is it?
Progeria.
Have you ever heard of that, Philip?
What is it?
Progeria.
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is, but I have heard of it.
It's a disease. It's a disease where I think it's every year the baby ages like 9 or 10 years. So by the age of like 4, they're like 40-something, 50-something. So,
yes, I have seen that, yes.
So all the proceeds of selling this bag goes to Carly. And what it is all the reality stars, what they do is they just take a picture and they hold it and they put it online and people just buy it, you know. So it's such a great cause, and I know you're definitely into helping. So as soon as they make a man bag, you're going to be on the list, all right?
And they have a bag. They have a bag out that's Jordan, you know, Jeff Jordan bag. Oh, my gosh, it's adorable. I want that one, too.
Well, you're going to have to go get
the bag,
it.
I want the bag. If you don't mind me just going ahead and saying it at the time that I hold up the bag, or if I get something on the little bottom there, I'm going to say this is a Stealth RS bag also. Because, you know, I created a short concept in the show.
The specialist bag.
Yeah, you know, the specialist bag. Got to have your, you know, you got to have something to put your goodies in for doing these stealth-like operations. So we definitely want that.
I think if Ellen's listening, you got an idea there, girl.
She's in the chat room, so she's hearing all of it, I'm sure.
Great
awesome,
question.
Awesome.
Thanks, Christina.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on. Bye, Michelle. Bye, Philip.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Philip, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, this whole specialist thing. Let's talk about your time in Survivor. Can you give us an overall feeling of how it went there and then what you felt like when you saw it play out at home?
Well, so absolutely. You know, of course, to get an opportunity, you know, to be on I consider it the number one franchise in the world when you look at total viewership. It has over 100 million people that watch the show. To get an invite, doing what I love to do, which is roller skating, and then to get on the show and get that opportunity to participate, you know, with Boston Rob and Russell and the other new players that were out there with me, you know, for me, it was a little difficult on the beginning of it because I'd had a strategy that I wanted to use going into the game, which is kind of like what I use in my everyday life, which is I'm a very social person. I'm always striking up conversations with complete strangers and engaging them. You know, I know many of the celebrities here in the area where I live, and I kind of interface with them. I'm very easy to kind of strike up a conversation. So that was kind of like what I was hoping I was going to be able to kind of use some of my natural things within the game. But when Boston Rob got there, and everybody in my tribe was so enamored with him, and then we actually began playing the game even further, I was like, how can I wrestle control from this guy? And I began to realize, like, I couldn't convert them to me, so then it became, okay, what's plan B? So plan B became, okay, how can I get closer to Boston Rob than any of them? You know, they were 19, 21, 25, 27. They were very young people. Here I am at 52 years old. So that's when I devised the strategy of going to him and saying, you know, I can help you if you can help me. And the way I can do that, and he said, well, how are you going to do it? I said, well, watch me. And, of course, that's what you begin to unfold with me being this character who was somewhat annoying, but he worked hard. He did what he was supposed to do every day, but he told it like it is. So it made it so that they would then go and complain to Boston Rob that, you know, Philip is psycho, you know, Philip won't leave me alone, you know, they did that sort of thing. And, of course, he recognized.
So you're saying it was an act?
No, I'm not saying it's an act. I'm saying it's what you do. It's a strategy. It was a strategy within the game.
Smart.
That made it so that Rob could see that as long as they were talking about me, they weren't able to focus on him and that he was actually leading the game. And, of course, he basically ejected, you know, each and every one of them out of the game and brought me and Natalie to the end. So for me to be, you know, they received 17 votes to be voted out of the game and never see Redemption Island and never have my torch put out, it was great. And then to be able to let my creative side show by creating, you know, Stealth RS, the specialist, that whole thing. For me, it was like, wow, this is incredible. Now, when I got back and watching it unfold, you know, initially, the fans would come up to me and go, are you crazy? You seem crazy on TV. And I went, you know, but then I'd talk a little bit with them and they'd go, you played the game. There's nothing wrong with you. And I go, no, there's nothing wrong with me. I just played the game in a different way. And they were like, oh, my God, I love you, Philip. So, you know, it would always start like that. And now that enough of them have heard me on, you know, different reality, you know, radio shows, and they follow me on Fan and Twitter and all the other things that I've done, it's coming full circle now, where people really do recognize that I played a very unique game, and you know they're asking the hosts and Mark Burnett Productions and Sagan Entertainment and CBS, like, we want this guy back, please bring him back. And so I have a feeling that I will eventually get that call to come back, and I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully I'll be able to win it the next time I play it.
Hey,
well,
I'm
hoping you get on.
Huh?
What's that?
No, I said I'm hoping he goes back on because I just want to see those infamous pink pants again.
Well, obviously, you know, the specialist would never be someone that would wear something like that twice. As you know, when you look at major people in television and what have you, and they get on their red carpet, they never wear the same outfit twice. So you know I'm not going to wear pink. But there's nothing wrong, I think, with like yellow and maroon and lavender. I mean, it's all such a beautiful colors. Peach. I mean, what's wrong with peach, right? You got a problem with
peach? I like peach. Peach is my favorite color.
So
after Tarzan has been on there wearing those underwear he has on this season, people have been begging to see yours again.
Then yeah, I bet. And by the way, I'm hoping that they give me a call real soon because, as you know from seeing me here at the reality rally, I'm buffed. The 54-year-old guy, he's got guns now. He's got guns now, you know. So I would hope that I got as much guns as a guy that's 54 can have, but you know what I'm saying? For me, it was a lot of fun to be out there and to be able to last for 39 days with, you know, very little food. I dropped 32 pounds. Hey, it was a phenomenal experience. And I just love that I got that call to participate.
Now, is there anybody that you don't really talk to? Like, is there any bad blood when you left the show?
Well, I would say that initially when I first, first of all, during the show, I'd rather spin that around differently. Other people allowed themselves to be annoyed by me. That's a better way to say it. And so doing, initially, you know, there were some who thought, you know, you heard the comments during the final tribal, and then you heard some comments, you know, in the press after they did what they called their exit interviews. To either participate in the jury or just be eliminated from the game. There were some, like, you know, Francesca and Christina, you know, who struggled with, you know, me in terms of the way things played out during the course of the game. And, of course, you know, I just felt like, look, it's a game. If the name of the game is to outwit, outlast, outplay, and there's no rules other than, you know, there are certain rules, like you can't supposedly touch other people's items and hide them, because if you do, someone like the specialist and his great-great-grandfather are going to go find them. So, as you know, my trunks were hidden. But you're not supposed to do something, but they did it. And so in the course of the game, for me, it was just like, I don't have any special obligation to anybody, you know, necessarily within the game. So if you get, you know, exited from the game, you just exited from the game, and hopefully you can and move on from it. So I would say, you know, Christina, you know, I haven't still had much conversation with. It seems like Francesca, you know, I've seen her at a couple other events. We've gotten better, but, you know, but like with everybody else, we have full-blown conversations, and, you know, I can speak to them, and occasionally they'll hit me up with on something on Twitter, that sort of thing. I think they realize it was just a game.
Well, I mean, you go into these, like, you know, and for me, Big Brother, it's kind of like the same thing, the only difference we're inside a house. But, like, you go in there by yourself, you leave by yourself, and you're there to win the game. So, you know, unfortunately, things like that happen. But at the end of it, when you're out, you got to realize it's a game. Just move on. You know, move on. Let it loose.
You know what helps me a lot with this sort of thing is that I play basketball 3 times a week with a group of guys. And it's always the same group of guys. But we, you know, 1 week I'm on this team, next week I'm on the next team. And when they're on the other team, we're arguing. I'm trying to slip in an elbow. I'm trying to get a rebound. I'm trying to box you out from getting the ball so my team can go down and score. So, you know, you can't bear a grudge against somebody because they're going to be on your team next week. And the way I look at Survivor is that you know the rules when you go into it. you know there's only going to be one soul survivor. And if you really want to be that person, you better figure out a way to do it and try to do it in a way that you feel comfortable in the way that you played the game. And frankly, I have no regrets, none, zero, in terms of the way I played the game. I tried to play with a certain level of integrity. I didn't promise anyone that I'd be bringing them to the end. I didn't tell anyone they were part of my, quote, alliance, that, you know, suddenly I then did something different with them. So, which is, by the way, the spirit of the game. I'm not saying just because somebody else does that, that somehow or another they violated some rule, because, frankly, that's the nature of Survivor. Betrayal, trust, alliance, betrayal. I mean, that's part of the game. I was fortunate that I picked the one individual who went on to win in terms of who I was going to make my alliance with, and I was able to offer them something that made it very compelling to them not to eliminate me from the game, and it meant that I finished second. Did I play for second? No, I would have loved to win, but you can't win alone. You've got to have an alliance once you get there, and so I played to the best of my ability and got to the end, and I have no regrets whatsoever, and I bear no grudge against anyone.
Well, hey, I know, Paul, that you have a chat question. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been waiting patiently. One of our chatters, Brandon, says hi in the chat room.
And hi, Brandon.
He wonders do you still have that feather you wore at the final tribal council where you played your face?
Actually, that's an excellent question, Brandon, because what I did was at the reality rally here in Temecula, one of the first things I did was is I brought the blanket, I brought the entire feather crown with me, and I also brought my swim trunks with me. And I had Dale Porter, who photographs a lot of those events, those reality events, practically all of them. He took some photos, and I know he's going to be posting some stuff. You know, he took over, I don't know, probably several thousand pictures at the event. So it's going to take them a few days to get that process, but I'm sure you will be seeing some of those photos. And, yes, I have the complete crown. As when I get a little bit more famous with some of the other activities that I'm doing, I'd like to be able to eventually put that up for a charity auction, you know, where people really will bid for it and really want it. And, you know, the winning bidder will take very good care of it because it's in its complete, you know, form that when I played in the game.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Philip.
Yes. And I love the fact that I got to play this game, and that's another aspect of the game. And I don't think we've ever seen anything like that, you know, somebody wearing a feather and, you know, to that degree, the way I did it and coming in like an Indian chief, you know, representing my great-grandfather from the Cherokee tribe. And, I mean, that was so much fun. And then to go all the way to the end, oh, priceless. Priceless.
Absolutely. I mean, watching it on TV and, like, listening to you, I'm sure a lot of people are like, you're probably changing their minds, and you're right. The way that they edit it, when people meet you, like, are you really like that? And then they get to talk to you and really find out who you are and that it is a game. Like, people got to remember that. And you did a great job being crazy.
Well, what I loved about it is, and that's why people say, well, how do you feel about the edit? You know, initially all the interviews would be, how do you feel about the edit? You know, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and I said it on every show that I've been on, a radio show and even in some chat rooms. You know, first of all, anytime you make a decision as a person like ourselves who go on a reality show, you need to understand that the first responsibility of the people that own the rights to the show, the network that produces the show, the producers and the editors, is to provide an entertainment value to their audience. So everybody needs to understand that their commitment isn't to the person that comes out in the show. It's to their audience and to their investors who put up the money, you know, over years and years to put on these type of shows, and the advertisers who put in the money so these shows can continue to be on the air. So for me, I feel sorry for somebody, for example, who goes on a reality show who doesn't know who they are, right? If you're going on a reality show to figure out who you are and thinking you're going to come home and watch the new you, it's not going to happen, right? You got to know who you are when you go into the game. So for me, I had fun with it. I thought, you know what I'm going to do once I got into the game? I can put whatever I want on display. I can talk in a way that the other contestants, while they're watching me play the game, since they don't know me and I really don't know them, I could say, I can outlast any man over there. What about the girls? That's for another day. I would talk like that, and they're like, what? But I was having fun. And I also knew kind of like in the moment when I would do something like that, because I say, even when I go to the coffee shops here in town, and, you know, the people that know me, they don't go, he's crazy. They go, he's entertaining, he's hilarious. And so, you know, I'm not well-to-do, but I live a pretty comfortable lifestyle. And they go, you know, Philip is a great guy to be around. He's a lot of fun. He doesn't. I'm not pretentious. I'm not phony, and so they enjoy my company. And on the show, though, I thought I'll have a little fun here, and that's why, you know, with the pink underwear, I know I'm the man that I am. I'm, you know, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about these underwear being the defining moment for me for the way I see myself. For reality
Absolutely.
TV, it'll be entertaining because I have me on the Soup every single week for 6 months. It had me on Ellen DeGeneres. It had me on the Jimmy Fallon. I mean, I was, you know, I was exposed everywhere. And somebody might say, but yeah, they were poking fun at you. They were making you look like you're crazy and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, well, kudos to me because I got to do what I wanted to do. And I basically got a tremendous amount of television time. And I finished second and lasted 39 days. In a game that's been on for 12 years, at 380 people, only 22 people have finished, or what is it, 24 people have finished second. So I think it was a great opportunity, so I have no regrets whatsoever.
Well, I guess we have a lot in common, Philip, because I obviously was very entertaining as well, because I made it on the Soup for a continuous time while I was on my show. So
absolutely.
What I think you're trying to say is, and I'm sure you get this a lot, Philip, I get it a lot, and I tell people exactly this. They ask me, so, you know, what did you do when you did your video or when you had your, you know, your casting interview or whatever? And I actually sent a video in, and I tell them like this, listen, you have to be yourself. And if yourself is boring, probably you're not going to be able to make it into this, you know. But when, then at some point people say, oh, let me act like this person or let me do this because then they'll think I'm crazy and they'll put me on. But, you know, my line to them all the time is don't fake the funk because we'll smell it, they'll smell it. Because
right.
If you can be entertaining for 2 minutes because you're faking it, what are you going to do when the camera's on you 24 hours a day? You're going to be boring, okay? So don't even try it. Like, that's the main thing is be who you are. And you know what? Being a little crazy and a little out there and a little, if that's you, that's awesome. Just
But what
bring
I
it.
Also say, I want to add, I want to, and then I want to say something about you because it was so fun meeting you in person. And the one thing that came across about you that I really enjoyed every time we had an interaction, riding the bus or seeing you, you always came across as real. There's nothing pretentious about you, you know, in conversation. I just love that you were funny. And I'm the same way. Now, I will say that I did do this in the sense that I am willing to put what I call every range of my personality and anything that comes to mind on full display if I feel like doing it or if I think it's funny. And that's real. And that's why I could do, you know, some of what I did, because it is me, but it's, I call it a bigger version of me, if you know what I'm saying. It's like when you go to a party and you're having a great time, but you realize the party's a little dead, and so you're willing to be a little bit of the entertainment of the party. Do you walk around 24/7? No. I mean, in my business life, for example, I'm paid a very high base salary to sell what we call enterprise application software that, you know, allows you to access data from different disparate types of systems and make it available to people based on who they are within the corporation. Now, when I do a presentation like that or start talking in that fashion, that's another form of my, if you will, display of my knowledge about the particular solutions or products that I'm selling. But is that who I am 24/7 at the coffee shop, you know, talking about heterogeneous environments and selectively retrieving data and redepositing it into new systems? I mean, no. But for the people and at the moment of the time that I need to speak like that, I certainly do. And so, you know, within Survivor, there are moments when you're out there that it's boring and, you know, you're trying to figure out what can you do next and you're saying, ah, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to create this thing called Stealth RS, and I'll be the specialist, and Boston Rob will be the mentalist, and the girls will be the 3 degrees of separation, and Grant will be the destroyer of aspirations. And I would just go off on a riff like that. And is it me? Yes, but it's also me being creative. It's also me, you know, wanting to, you know, produce some sort of entertainment value for myself in that environment. And, of course, the editors were able to work with that. You know, the editors have to have something to edit, right? And so for me, it was just great, you know, to be out there and to do that. And you're absolutely right. There's no phoniness to it. It's just being willing to put every – I mean, I like to think of it as there are certain people when they're out there, you get the sense like they're trying to control who they are. They're trying to project something different in that situation. And if you do that, then it makes you, in my view, uninteresting.
Absolutely. You got to give something, like, you have to have something to give to the cameras, and you are doing a reality show, yes, but you also, like you said, they've made an investment in you, and unless you're doing something crazy or whatever, the people that, you know, they might not like you and how you play, those are the people that are going to watch you more.
That's right, exactly.
You know? So it's one of those things, but I want to ask you now. You know, did you sign up for Survivor before? Was it your first time? How was the process of you getting on it?
Well, this is, you're going to love this. It's going to get me again. I typically go skating 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I go skating and also on Sunday. But when I go, I wear biker shorts. You know, like when you see those biker shorts that are really tight and they got a little padding in the butt, so when you sit on the bike, you know what I'm talking about, those tight? Of shorts, guys.
Yes.
They're really skin tight. Now imagine that on a 6'2" guy weighing 230 pounds. He's got on some black skates, say the pants are black, the socks are red. I'm wearing a bright red shirt. I got on some dark sunglasses. I got headband on. It's maybe white or red or black, and I got the basketball band. Now when I put on my skates, I got my music going. I've been doing it for 40 years, so I can skate at a very high rate of speed backwards going down residential streets in my neighborhood, and I'm dancing. So here you got a guy going down Montana Avenue where the homes start at, you know, 1.2 million and up, coming through the neighborhood at a high rate of speed, at first going forward, then turn around going backwards, then coming back, and he's got his groove going on. He's got his Michael Jackson thing going on. That's how the casting director saw me, with her son in the car, with the convertible top down. She's watching me. She's following me. And I get this all the time from, you know, women, and some men will, like, cruise along with me, like, hey, dude, they're giving me the thumbs up. Finally, she tries to get me to stop at a red light. And, you know, I say, thank you so much. And, you know, she goes, really, I want to talk to you. And I go ahead and start skating. And she finally blocks my entrance so I can't skate by her car. And, I lift up the skates, you know, my sunshades, and she goes, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a casting director for, you know, Survivor. I've never seen anyone skate like that. And you don't even have a helmet on, and you don't have pads on. And I said, well, I've been doing it for 40 years. If I fall, I know exactly how to do it. And I showed her. I fall, and I pop back up. She goes, oh, my God, that looked like it was a trick. I go, well, kind of like, you know, when you get good at something, that's what you have to take the ability to do. And basically, that's how it started. And from that conversation, she said to me, you know, well, tell me a little about yourself. I told her I was what? A former federal agent. And I told her how I was trained to read people and, you know, things like that so that I could determine whether or not they were actually being totally candid in an interview or, you know, I'm trying to determine whether or not they're being totally truthful with me. And she thought that was fascinating. And so that's how the process started for me. And then later I hired someone to come help me shoot my videotape. And I was lucky. This guy was a cinematographer on the movie Transformers, I think it was, or it's one of those, you know, with a big monsters movie. And so he took me around different. Was it Transformers? Yeah. So
yeah.
He took me around different locations around Santa Monica, doing the things that I love. But, you know, as you can imagine, with the cinematographer, the lighting was perfect. And so I'd play with a basketball. I'd dribble through my legs. I'd go down one of my favorite chic streets, and I'd do some roller skating moves, turning around, spinning backwards, do a little dancing. And that's what I made as my audition tape. But I had, you know, they had pretty much had already decided when they saw me that day that they wanted to continue to, you know, discuss with me. And then I went through the rest of the interview process, you know, the whole audition process and the other components to it that they do that I'm not fully allowed to disclose. But suffice it to say, they know I'm not crazy. So, you know, they went through that process with me, and eventually I was cast for the show.
So had you watched Survivor before? So you knew what it was all about?
I watched the first season, and you know when I
well that
you, know,
you
years
must
ago,
have loved you must have loved meeting Richard then, huh?
Yeah, I met Richard there. I've met Sandra Diaz-Twine. But I basically, what I did as part of that process, I'd already watched the first season. They asked me that. And I told them that. I said, I really don't watch the show. But I made myself go and buy like 4 or 5 seasons, watch it. I went and bought several books on the show, like, you know, a couple of books that have been written about the show. And it gave me a good grounding about, okay, how the game is played, how people would potentially approach me in the game or how I might potentially approach them, so that I could recognize something when I saw it, besides my own ability and my own life experiences, which was very, very helpful, you know, in the course of playing the game and also getting cast for the show.
Okay,
so
do you watch any reality shows right now? Like, did you start watching any? What's your favorites?
Well, obviously, I watch Survivor, right? I watch Amazing Race from time to time. I watch Big Brother. I watch the viewer on it. Yes, I watched the viewer on it. I watched it, you know, intermittently. Like, I don't follow them all the time because I do really have a very active lifestyle, and I'm also part of it because I have a son that goes to, you know, high school. I'm part of the PTA. I'm one of those guys. I'm, you know, I'm really, really normal. Trust me. And so, you know, just in my so, you know, I'm busy like that. But when I get a chance, I do watch them, you know, some certain reality shows. And I love it when I just flip it on and I stumble on it. And I go, wow, this is really entertaining like that. But I'm not like a guy who, you know, records and, you know, and comes home and makes sure I watch every single thing, except for Survivor now that I've been on it.
Yeah.
But
and,
I love
of course,
reality.
Big Brother, right? Yeah. You said you watched my season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? So did you watch it fully or did you just see some episodes?
I watched a number of episodes.
So did you get to see the unitard? I think you would be awesome if you were on Big Brother and you were the unitard.
I think that, you know, there are a number of shows that I would like to do. The one that is most appealing to me would be Big Brother. I would love to be on it but it's not, rather than sooner, it'd be a little bit later. Because I've got something that I've created a reality show, by the way. And I've
about that.
Well, I can't go into a lot of detail of it, you know what I'm saying? But let me just say that I've created a reason you can't is because there are copycats out there. But it's an interesting concept that I came up with. It would be a reality game, and there would be, you know, it's a uniqueness to it that, you know, lends itself very well to my background. And
okay, so I know you can't talk about it, but when do you plan on, like, letting people know about it? When is it going to kind of do its debut?
The way that would normally work, for example, is you would pitch it. You would go to a pitch meeting, which I've done, and you would present it. If they like it, they'll make an offer for the show, and then your lawyers and their lawyers would start talking, and you know you'd start building the process to get the show actually optioned, and then that person's or network or in the you know group of people would then take that option that they have and go and try to sell it to a network. And then the network might say, well, you know, we want to do a pilot or not, or we may want to just go ahead and do a full season. And so that's the typical way that that would work. And we're in the process of, you know, having, you know, the attorneys involved going back and forth with the show. I'm hoping that I get a phone call, you know, in the next, you know, year or two to do another Survivor. So I would say it's probably 2 years out.
Philip,
okay.
One of our chatters asked, where are you from originally? Oh, now.
From my mother originally, but I was born in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, a Quaker state. I stayed there till I was 7, and then I moved to Georgia till I was 10, and then I moved to upstate New York until I was 14, and then I came to Southern California to visit, and I moved here when I was 16, stayed till I was 20, joined the Army, went overseas, came back, moved to Washington, D.C., and now I live back in Southern California.
Where did you serve when you were in the Army?
I served in several different states. I served in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I served at Fort Ben Harrison in Indianapolis. I served for several years in Germany. And then I came back and was stateside in Washington, D.C. And ultimately, I received my separation there and went on to become a special agent, also in Washington, D.C.
Special agent man.
I was thinking the same thing.
Now, do you, like, has anybody that you worked with, like, in, you know, the special agents, has any of them contacted you and was like, oh, my God, you were hilarious? Because they probably know you like a T, being around you probably for a while. Have you been in contact with any of them?
Yes. In fact, I don't know if you know, but at the very last finale, you know, because I was called the former special agent, we had a real federal agent come in and attest to the fact that not only was I a federal agent, that I was the top of my class when I was in school. And that person also went to school with me. And people
very
still
nice.
Didn't, people still didn't believe it.
I know. I mean,
I found it fascinating that people said, you know, I had people say to me, but a special agent or a federal agent would never act like that. And I'm thinking, how would you know? What if real special agent really act like? You know, because if I'm working undercover, say, in a drug operation, I'm not going to be acting like a federal agent. I'm going to be acting like somebody that's a druggie and enjoying it. So, or if I'm if I'm in Washington, D.C., and I'm, you know, following some Germans around, I need to look like somebody either who doesn't look like a federal agent but belongs at wherever the heck they happen to be at the moment. So, you know, that's how it operates. My brother is the police chief of the city of Rochester, New York, right now. My other brother lives here is what? A special agent. So we shepherds didn't like to be in the side of the law enforcement side of things.
Wait a minute. You always talk about all your growing up with all your sisters. Now you're talking about all your. How many kids siblings do you have?
There's 12 of us. There's
Oh my goodness.
There's 7 girls, and 5 boys, and there's 2 sets of twins. And by the way, I'm a twin, Philip and Phyllis. And what is my twin? She's a PhD. Psychologist, and she teaches at Boston University. So, you know, I'm on
the my neck of the woods.
Yeah. And then my eldest sister is also a psychologist. My brother is a psychologist, but it teaches. I have another brother that's a teacher. A couple of nurses in the family. They're all very, you know, professional people, basically. I'm the only one that's been, crazy on national television, so...
We have another chat room question for you, Philip, and it's again from Brandon. You always wondered this and thought he would ask you, how much harder do you feel it was strategizing on a season that has Redemption Island compared with regular seasons that don't have it? Because you can always get that threat out, but there's always a chance that person will return.
Well, I loved it in my season because it was one of the things that I was able to say to Boston Rob when I, at one point, I don't know if it was aired or not, because, you know, there was all those little secret scenes, but there was one scene where I say to him that, you know, if at any time that I get voted out of this game, because you should, you know, blindside me, I want you to know any agreement that I made with you is off, and I'll be able to cast my vote any way I want. So this is after the merger and after the jury. In other words, so now we're coming down now to who was going to be sitting on the jury. So basically what I said to him is that if I went to Redemption Island for any reason and I came back into the game, any agreement I had with him was off, and I'd spend the rest of my time trying to get him eliminated out of the game. And so I liked the fact there was this thing called Redemption Island because he knew that he couldn't necessarily eject me from the game and that was going to be the end-all, be-all. He knew that, you know, from my ability to converse and say things, that I could be persuasive if I wanted to be. And when I wanted to be, like, for example, if you notice, anyone that I argued with in my season went home.
You're
right.
If I got in an argument,
like a really heated argument or what appeared to be a heated argument, ultimately that was the person that went home. And that was because Boston Rob would be able to marshal the votes for that person to go home, But partly of what I did was is it made that person an easier target. So when I went after anybody in the Zapatero tribe and we had an argument, sure enough, they went home. In fact, I was asked that in one of those interviews, I don't remember which one, where somebody said, Philip, it seems like whenever you get an argument with somebody, they go home. I went, yep. So I think he recognized that. So I love the concept of Redemption Island in my season. What I wanted every season, no. Because, like, for example, if they invite me back, I don't want it because everybody knows, you know, my game or, you know, an aspect of my game. And so I would like to be able to know for certain that if I'm able to get that person eliminated, that they're staying out.
Now, did you ever have a plan of not saying that you were, like, a federal agent, special agent, specialist?
No, because I've learned, this is something that's really hard, a concept that I'm going to share with you that's very difficult, but it's something that a parent knows really well, and that is this. Sometimes telling the truth in a situation where it looked like you might not want to tell the truth is probably the best course of action because it means, you know, once you start to deceive, it's very, what a fine web we weave, you know, because it's very difficult to keep all the truths together. So I thought there's two reactions. I'll be able to understand two things. One, when I went to the girls in my season and I said right up front, like I think the first time I get to speak with the girls as a group, I say, I want you girls to know I was a former special agent and my principal responsibility was to make sure that, you know, people tell me the truth. And if they're telling me the truth and they get an alliance with me, I'm going to hold to that alliance. However, if you don't tell me the truth or if I don't think I can hold an alliance with you, I won't be joining an alliance with you. And it's good that you understand that right now. But what it allowed me to do is at that same time I did it, I got to gauge every one of their reactions when I said it. And I observed both Christina and Francesca both looked at me with, you know, profound skepticism, like, yeah, sure. And the others didn't. So that gave me a data point to share that. And I knew there was a possibility they would either believe me or distrust me. And the fact that, you know, as a group they got together and, you know, they thought, oh, okay, what we'll do is we won't believe him. We're not going to tell him we don't believe him, but we're going to act like we don't believe him. And therefore, right, we're going to be standoffish from him. By them standing off of me, it meant that I could play another aspect of my game, which was I didn't want to have to tell a lie. I said, let me see if I can play this game without having to tell a lie. And because everybody stood off from me and they weren't asking me any questions, you never see me being asked questions like, what do you think's going on tonight? Let's have a strategy together, Philip, about how we can get rid of Rob or how we can get rid of Grant. You never see that take place over the 39 days that I'm there. And that, some people might think, well, if you don't have an alliance, that's to your disadvantage. Well, in my case, in that set of circumstances, it was to my advantage because it meant I didn't have to lie to you, and it also meant I didn't have to share with you what I was observing. And that was because I told the truth in the beginning. It allowed me to have that kind of freedom. So, you know, a lot of people didn't understand a lot of what I was doing out there, but frankly, you know, it was quite deceptively brilliant is the way I like to think of it. And that's
a lot of people could not play the game like you did and make it as far as you did. It's not like anybody can just go and play your game and manage to basically have everybody like puppets. I mean, without them even realizing that it was happening, you know. And you're right, every week that somebody got in a fight with you, they were gone because, like you said, it was easy to take them out because they're already in a fight, they're already being talked about, and it seems like it's better to keep you in because, oh, you know, we can take them out later, we can take them out later.
And that's exactly what was happening. And it was also interesting to me, you know, what I really enjoyed about my season, you know, and anyone who's very competitive will appreciate this, is like, you know, I went up against David, for example, the attorney. He was, you know, he's considered the brightest, smartest person IQ-wise to ever play the game. He's a very, you know, good lawyer here in town. I have no ill will whatsoever against him, you know, outside of the game. But inside the game, I knew when I was dealing with him, and frankly, when I was dealing with Francesca. Francesca's a very articulate, beautiful woman, you know, impeccable skin. She had a very muscular body. I mean, there was a lot about her that outside the game, as a brother, I could appreciate. So, you know, it was just like, okay, but, you know, I'm playing a game, and I'm competing, you know, in the game. And so, you know, it may not have been the most elegant strategy that everyone else could understand, but it was one that I figured out that would work for me to make me outlast everyone else in that game except Boston Rob and be the first runner-up. And for that, I'm grateful that I, you know, that I had the wherewithal to do it, albeit in a very unconventional way.
Well, it worked for you, you know, and I do hope that you get back in Survivor. Now, let's talk about anything happening outside of, like, you know, your life after Survivor. Is there anything you want to talk about that you have coming up in the works besides your reality show that you have planned? Is there anything you want to talk about before we let you go?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I want to talk about is my Twitter account is T Shepherd TV. So that's T-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D-TV. But specifically, I have a blog called philipshepherd.tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R. And out there, I've shared about 13 chapters, which are really like sub-chapters, so it would be really the equivalent of 6 chapters of a regular book called The Costa Rica Job. And this is a book about a guy who's a former special agent. Who knew? And he's called the special. And he goes to Costa Rica, and he's going to work on a job. Now, what people should know that when they go to read this story, The Costa Rica Job, all the factual information about the skills that he has, the weapons that he used, the terrorist organizations that he's up against, the places that he mentions, the streets that he names, the bar, anything that I mention in the book are all real, and they're very, very accurate today. So it's kind
so
of
is
a,
it, is,
unique,
it a, is it like a biography?
It's not a biography, but it's a spy novel, like in the form of a James Bond movie, except instead of saying James Bond, he says the specialist. So it's really good. I've had a lot of people read it. I even have had a director here in town who I don't want to name because I think it's not fair, but I'll just say he's a person who directed a major star in a major movie, and it won an Oscar. And he's read parts of the story, and he really likes it. He follows the blog. And I've had others reading it. And I just finished with my co-writer, because I'm the ideas guy, but I have someone else that's writing it. I want to point that out, who basically helped me, you know, get it to paper and get it out there. So we are hoping to get that published, and then eventually I'd like to see that, you know, develop into a game as well as a potential television show around me, because I'm also taking some acting classes. So, and I've gone and I've had some auditions for, you know, for television shows on CBS. I haven't booked anything yet, but I'm moving in that direction. So, you know, that's my new thing in life. You know, I've always had my own little company called EnterpriseSoftwareSalesGroup.com where I basically broker software for the last, you know, 20 years to Fortune 100 companies. But I'm now, at this point in my life, having had the exposure, you know, trying to do something different. And eventually would like to either host my own reality show, as I talked about, as well as doing some bit of acting parts, and as also publishing a book. And I'm also starting to work on my own autobiography. But I think it's premature something like that at this point. So, but I'm working on it. So that's what I'm, you know, up to right now. I do believe that, you know, you're going to see me in other potential reality formats going forward, for sure. And, you know, that's what I'm up to. And I'm basically taking very good care of myself and, you know, staying, you know, healthy, as you saw me, you know, at the reality rally. And that's what I'm up to.
Wow, you must have a lot of spare time. Jeez.
Well, I don't have a lot of spare time, but as you know.
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, to be a special agent, you just have to be effective.
That's right. Do you think I could be a special agent? Do you think I could be in that category?
I do, because I think you're the type of person, like what I liked about you, you know, in this, having had an opportunity to meet you in person, is that, you know, first of all, I could see where someone would not take you for what you are, a threat. I mean that in the most powerful way, because one of the ways that you can be effective as a, you know, as an agent is that when you go into a situation, people assume something else about you, but in fact underneath the covers is a is a functioning, well-tuned brain capable of analyzing a situation for what it is and maybe inserting some humor when needed to, or maybe even something, you know, more powerful, more lethal if needed to be. And I had a sense from you that, you know, you're capable, that you, you know, you're capable on the street, you could handle yourself at night, you know, if you were alone. I mean, am I putting things on you that are, you know, you wouldn't agree with in terms of...
Oh, I agree with everything.
Okay, so that's how I see you, you know. I got that from you. You were fun, though. You were quick to laugh, but you're not somebody that I would see that could be easily taken advantage of. Though someone might think they might have that initial, you know, because you have a humor about you, you're quick to laugh, and someone might make the incorrect assumption, and in the meantime, you've taken a knee to the groin.
That's right.
An elbow to the forehead. An uppercut to the chin, and out he goes. So that's what you have.
I don't know, Train Paul. I think he was right on the money, don't you think? Chariot Paul, are you there?
I'm here.
Don't you think he got that right on the money?
I do.
Okay, I hope I haven't put you guys to sleep over there.
No, not at all.
I know.
Philip, we're in the background. We're kind of like PAs, you know. We're doing other stuff and trying to keep everything smoothly. But, yes, I agree.
Okay.
Well,
Philip,
I just... I'm sorry. I was just going to say it was a pleasure meeting you. Definitely one of the people that I was hoping to run into during one of these events. And I really hope you get back on Survivor because I'll tell you one thing. The entertainment value in itself will be ridiculous. And never mind.
Absolutely. Your
goal on winning, because I know that you're a man of your word, not like a lot of these people out there that say, oh, if I win, I'm going to donate to this. You can tell by the way you say the words that come out of your mouth that you mean it. And if it takes you winning another Survivor game to help out these causes, I say I'm backing you up.
Well, I would just say that I did win a little bit of money from Survivor. I don't know if I could disclose that publicly, but it's definitely not, you know, like the winner gets. But I did donate a significant amount of that to, you know, the things that are important to me. One of them was the Sunburst Youth Challenge, which takes kids that are maybe 18, 19 years old who've quit high school and or they are thinking about quitting high school or they're challenged in high school or they're skipping classes or whatever's going on in their personal life that prevents them from, you know, being able to get focused on what they need to. Basically, this program, the Sunburst Youth Challenge, first one of its kind here in California, but now it's spread to five different states, basically works with those kids in conjunction with the National Guard and the state of California to help these kids, you know, get focused and get the discipline they need. And a lot of times they finally find themselves getting a 3.0 to 4.0 average in school. And so I work with that particular organization to help get some kids back in school and made, you know, a significant donation to them. Obviously, the Gorilla Fund, the Diana Fossey Gorilla Fund, which is very dear to me. Everybody knows I wore the gorilla, but I put the gorilla on my arm a long time ago because it's an endangered species. There's only 480 gorillas living in the Rwanda forest. As you know, Diana Fossey, who Sigourney Weaver played, you know, a significant role and who now heads up as the number one spokesperson for that organization. I raised some funds immediately upon walking out of the finale from Survivor with that particular charity. And, of course, you know, the other types of charities that I give to, or some 50 or so different charities that I've made donations to this past year. So I definitely believe that, you know, once you get to a certain celebrity status and you start making, you know, some real income from it, you have to give back. And all this, most major celebrities, of course, do that. And that's how they use their celebrities. And anybody that's not in it, that's not completely ego-driven, knows that that's what it's really all about. And that's why it was so great to have all of us turn out at Rally there in Temecula this weekend and, you know, in Celebration Florida and other types of venues as well. So that's how I want to be able to live my life going forward of, you know, at 54 and healthy and blessed to, you know, be from a large family and to get the education in terms that I got in terms of how I need to conduct myself personally and over the course of my life. And so I'm very grateful to, you know, have had the opportunities that I've had.
Well, we thank you so much for taking your time off, especially after a crazy weekend, and calling in and just sharing
a lot.
Don't
say crazy weekend. Don't you say crazy weekend.
Oh, my gosh. It was a little crazy. Can we say a little crazy?
Yes, it was. I'm just teasing because, you know, crazy. You know, there's that word again. I'm just teasing.
Oh, yeah. Boy. It haunts you.
Listen, I really, really enjoyed it, guys, and it was a fun call. So thank you so much for reaching out. And anytime you want me to come back in the future, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Absolutely. And if you have anything that you're doing that you need to promote, network, any kind of charity or anything that's been moving forward with your life with, you know, your hosting stuff, come back on here. Give me a call. Let me know that you want to come on and talk about it. We'd be happy to have you on.
Absolutely.
Sounds great.
You have an open invitation to come back on
Thanks
the Rad
so
Reality
much.
Show anytime.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Philip.
You so much, Philip. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Philip.
By the way,
okay,
Philip, I was also in the Army, so we've got that in common. So,
what was your rank and what branch of service? I mean,
I
the Army. What
I was a Spec 4. I served during Vietnam, but I did not go over there. I'm about 7-8 years older than you are, and for 3 years. So,
will you go ahead and tell them what the title of a Spec 4 is? Go ahead and say it. You have my permission. Go for it. They're specialists.
Specialists.
Right. Specs is short for specialist fourth class.
Well, I was a specialist, you see. That's why I said that. That's why I go by the specialist, because we were specialists.
There you go. You're a specialist, Paul.
All right.
That's
well,
right. Well,
so
yeah.
And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Philip.
Thank
have a good
you.
Night.
Okay.
Well, isn't he just fantastic?
That was great. He's very interesting.
He is. We talked for a while, and he is just super smart and just kind of like chameleon-like, you know, kind of just adapts to the situation. He's funny. He's in great shape, you guys, great shape. And, you know, I can see that Survivor asking him back because, I mean, just for entertainment purposes, I would love to have him back on there and see what's in store for him and us when he goes back on that show. So it was great. Well, you know, we
and
don't know if Juan's going to be calling in. What was that, Paul?
I was going to say, and especially you like him now that the one season that he watched a Big Brother was yours.
Well, of course, and you know, he didn't even tell me that, so I didn't even know that I was the only season of Big Brother that he watched, so.
Okay, and you were saying something about LaJuan before.
Well, yeah, he had mentioned to me yesterday that he was going to call in, so, I mean, I can just be one to say that things that you say yesterday might be different today because, woo, what a crazy weekend, but so I don't know if he's calling in. We'll see if he is. But I just want to say a couple of things before we go on to the Mob Wives. Number one is I want to give a shout out to Jim Vagelica. Let me say that right. Jim Vagelica was on Expedition Impossible. So if you guys watched it, he was one of the three SWAT members from Boston area. And I believe they came in third.
I love that show. God, I hope they do that show again because I absolutely loved Expedition Impossible.
Oh, you lie. You lie.
I love Expedition Impossible.
I had a list of Cherry going on and on about that show when it was on. I love
and
it.
You wouldn't watch it.
Oh, it is awesome, Cherry. I agree with you, but I'm just going to bust your bubble. And from what I was told by all the Expedition Impossible people, because guess what? My roommate was one of the Expedition Impossible people, which I'll get to.
And they're not going to do another season?
No, I heard they're not doing another season.
Damn it.
Yeah, so bummer. But he was actually my travel partner. And it's so weird. Like, I have a SWAT team member, Louis, a detective. It's like every single time I travel, I'm always, like, with good protection. You know, no one is going to mess with me nowhere.
That was sort of like a combo of what they used to do back in the shows that I watched before Survivor started, when they used to do these shows, it was called Eco Challenge. And that was before Survivor ever came on. And it was where they would take teams out to these remote countries and they would race for the entire week. And it was, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, not 7 days a week, but like for a 3 or 4 day period. And they started putting them on a cable channel so you could watch them for the 3 or 4 day run. And it was sort of a cross between that and what we now know as Survivor. And it really reminded me kind of a mesh between those two shows. And I really loved it. And I really wanted to see another season of that show.
Me too. I was super upset because that's like a hardcore show. Yeah, a lot of people say, oh, it's a copy of Amazing Race. It really isn't because they do totally different things. I mean, they're like out there, like, you know, jumping out of planes and climbing up these, like, ridiculous mountains. And, yes, Amazing Race does do sometimes crazy things, but normally it's, you know, competitions like we saw yesterday with the beehives and stuff like that. You know, they don't have anything right. like that. Everything
Mark
they're
Burnett,
doing is hardcore.
Mark Burnett put that on, and when he does something, he does it, like, where
Perfect.
It's really out there, and you're really, like, pardon the French, but you're going balls to the wall, like doing a hardcore challenge, you know,
yep.
and it's intense. It's not something where, you know, you're going to, you know, go paint a picture or, you know, go play with tea kettles or something. You're going to go skydiving or you're going to go, you know, off a cliff or jump out of a helicopter or you're going to, you know, it's something intense. And
yeah.
he really knows how to do those things. I mean, he put on those eco challenges years and years ago before Survivor came on. And when my husband and I saw that he was going to do a show that was going to be on network TV, it was like, wow, we can't wait for this. You know, we knew that we were going to love Survivor. And
yeah, I mean, it's just fun to watch. And you know, the thing about watching these events and these competitions, it's like anybody can win. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily always the strongest or the fastest, you know? So that's why you can have an array of people, and with that you get an array of personalities, and you get Phillips and me and Luans and, you know,
right.
But people like that, you know, necessarily wouldn't be like, oh, they could win the game, but really they do have a possibility. Anything is
right.
possible in these games.
Hey, before we go on to Mobwise, you talked about your roommate, but I also saw you take a picture with Chopper and one of Ron's old crushes, and he would kill me if I said that on the air right now, but Melody.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, but you know what? I'm going to go just step back for a minute. Not next week,
Sorry.
Because unfortunately I won't be here next week. I have work things. I'm asked to go to a leadership meeting to become a manager, so big deals. But anyway, the week after, how about I have some, like, Expedition Impossible people on?
That would be great.
All right, so I'll work on that. But anyway, so my roommate was Brittany Smith. She was one of the three California girls.
Oh, I love them.
And she was also on Big Break, that golf reality show. She is a professional golfer. And she basically is actually waiting on doing the tour of, they call them, oh my gosh, future golfers or something like that, the futures. So it's like a big deal. So she's really good.
Wow.
So she was such a pleasure to room with and hang with. We had so much fun. I never met her before. And why I think that things work out like that, some people tell me, oh, my God, I can't believe you just room with people you don't know. But it's like you're like an automatic family. It's like weird to say,
yep.
but it's just like for me, I don't know if I can say that for anybody else, but I can just kind of gel with whatever is going on. You know, I watch these shows. I can talk with them. I can relate with them. I can converse with them. You know, I'm not necessarily shy.
Oh, really?
So, you know, and also the aspect of it, this was actually Brittany's first event. And so if you think about it, I'm like, I guess, a veteran now. So I guess it would be great to put somebody with somebody who's new, like an oldie with a newbie, because at least they can guide you. They can kind of let you know what's going on, you know, the gist of it. And the other fantastic thing is Jim, who I came with, this was his first event ever. So he never had an event, and he just looked at me in the airplane, and he said, on the way back home, he said, "You were like the sister I never had."
Aww.
No, but I think he had a sister before. He was, or he said something like, he's like, "You just like my sister," something like that. He's like, "You were the best ever." He's like, "I had the best 3 days ever," you know? And it felt like, not that it was my obligation, and I love that, you know, taking people, making them happy, but it just felt so good to know that this person had their first event. They're kind of a little like, you know, Expedition Impossible. He's like, "Well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not like a Survivor, Big Brother, you know." And I kind of was like, put him under my wing, and I was like, "Come on, let's go." And, you know, he was kind of not standoffish, but you could see if he was with somebody else that was quiet, that he wouldn't probably have been that outgoing, you know.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, so let me get to the Brittany story because this is really good. Okay. So, me and her end up doing the golf tournament. What are the chances I room with the golf professional? Lucky me, I've golfed 3 times in my life. It'll make it 4 this past Friday in California. My 2 other times were when I golfed in Oregon for Rainbow Reality.
Rainbow.
Yep. Still thinking about Kale's family, praying for them. But that's when I golfed, and I did like I had like a birdie and everything. And Darren, Kale's husband, was like, "Wow, you're really good. If you only knew like what," because I'd always be like, "What club do I pick? Like, what do I do? What's this thing?"
Right.
You know. And so he was like, "You know, you're really good." He's like, "You can hit the ball." He's like, "You're kind of one of those people that doesn't need technique." He's like, "The way you hold the club, the way you stand, everything's wrong. But you just hit the ball so far and so right." And I'm like, "All right." So I had played 1 other time when I came here, but it was like a mini 9-hole. It wasn't like the full,
right,
you know. So we go, we show up at this beautiful, it's called Temecula Hills Country Club. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous golf course. Beautiful. And I would say I'm going to just give it about 30 teams. And or maybe there was probably like 25. So let's say 25 to 30. And so each, like, reality star had 3 members to their team, and it was picked at random. You know, some of them, all the teams that, you know, obviously the money that they paid goes to the charity. Some of them maybe paid more and got to choose a reality star. Some of them just kind of was like, whatever, you know, pick a name out of the hat. So we show up. It's kind of, like, cloudy. It's kind of cold. And so I looked like I was dressed like
Wendy,
a boxer, because I don't even know how to dress golfer-ish. Okay. So I'm like, I have a strategy. So I had a strategy going into this, okay? So I meet my team, and they're like 3 guys. They're really cool. They all actually do marketing for the AAA team for the San Diego Padres.
Wow.
Pretty cool, right? So they had just come back from spring training and stuff, and, you know, they're golfers. They golf. They all have their own clubs. I have the rent of clubs. And so I get I get to the golf carts, and I was like, "Listen, we have to have a team meeting." And they're like, "Who is this fucking girl?" So I'm like, "Team meeting." And I'm like, "Listen," I was like, "you know," I was like, "I just want to let you guys know that I don't know if you like you guys are super serious about this, or, you know, you guys are kind of like, it's a charity thing. I don't know if you guys golf. I just want to let you know that I've golfed 3 times. I've done really well when I golf, but I'm not good at, like, many things. I don't really know the rules and whatever you're supposed to do, but I'm super competitive. So I'm just giving you guys this right off the bat so there's no confusion." And they all 3 look at me like, "What the hell?" You know, and they were kind of like, "Yeah, cool." Like, you can tell they were cool, but they still at the same time were like, probably like, "Oh, shit, I wish we had a person that knew somewhat how to golf."
Right.
So the way you play it is you kind of, everybody kind of spread out. You know, it's an 18-hole golf course. There's 30 teams. You need to spread it out. You can't have everybody start on the same hole.
Right.
So the way it works is the four of you, everyone takes a shot. Who's ever
right.
got the farthest ball or the best play shot is that's the one you use.
Yep.
Basically, every time we teed off, it was always my ball that was picked. Can you even freaking stand it?
No freaking way.
Can you even freaking stand it?
Oh, my God, Michelle. You go, girl.
Yep. And, like, the second shot, depending on how the hole went, there was probably, I'd say, you know, a handful of times that mine was picked, which is still pretty good, right? And then when we were on the green, I'll be honest with you, I never got a putt in because either I missed my shot or somebody on my team got it in.
Right.
Before me, you know, because
uh-huh.
we mixed up the order every time. So, needless to say, did super good. Okay. And then I just want to also say that there was, like, different competitions within the hole that would also be where they would raise money for the charity. So, like, one hole was break the glass. There was, like, a big glass in front, and we would all, you know, take a hit at the glass. If you hit the glass, they won, like, a golf club. Well, my team would have to obviously pay for, you know, each person to do it. Every time there was a competition on the hole, they would always pay for me, all of them. So they were on top of that, paying a lot of money to play on the course. They were always contributing money to Michelle's place, which was awesome. There was one hole in particular that I just thought was amazing. We had to wear bras that were bedazzled, and that goes to Tana that was on our show last week. And the guys on my team, we all wore them. They were motorboating each other. It was awesome. We drank the entire time. There was little carts set up of food all around where I actually got to meet Amanda from Hell's Kitchen and also Elise, the vixen of Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. I saw her do her interview. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe she was there.
Oh, my God. I was like, oh, my God, girl, I love you. You're a bitch. You're from New York.
She was. I was telling Paul that. He laughed at me.
Oh, she got in fights. She got in fights there and everything, please.
Did she really? Oh, my God, Michelle, we got to talk. I got to hear these stories.
Yes, Paul.
We got to move on, but it sounds like you're going to look for a golf tournament in every reality event you go to.
Okay.
Now.
Thanks, Paul. Yes, I'm going to move on. Let's make this short. Okay. So needless to say, the 30 teams, you know, there was golfers. My team won!
All right.
Did you say you wound up like 11 under par?
Yes, and so this is where the good part gets. So my team wins. That's not even the good part. The part that gets good is I get to tell my roommate, who's a professional golfer, that my team beat hers by one par.
Oh, my gosh, that is too cool, Michelle.
Needless to say, the cute little blonde, blue eyes turned into crazy woman. No, she was yelling, no way, there's no way you won. She was not happy. When I'm telling you guys, she was not happy. I was like, oh, my God. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I had the biggest smile on my face as she's sitting there yelling because I'm just, like, super happy that I won. And I can't believe how seriously she's taking it. And it's a charity event. So I go up to the guy that tells me that we won. And I'm like, so what do I win? And she's, like, in front of us. And she's yelling at him. She's yelling at me. And he's like, well, you win golf balls and you win, you know, golf apparel. And you win golf fees, green fees. And I go, like a green visa, like those prepaid things? And he's going,
oh
no,
God.
Green fees. And she goes, see, exactly. She doesn't even know what green fees are. Oh, it was funny. It was so funny. Maybe I shouldn't have been laughing, but it was fucking amazing.
Oh, my gosh, I wish I could have been there to see that. I would have been rolling. I would have been hysterical laughing, Michelle.
I was. And it was so funny because...
I bet you were just loving that. I could see the smile on your face.
Wait, this story gets better. I know, Paul, you want me to hurry up, but this is good shit. So she's like... she storms off, and I follow her. I'm like, really, it's not that serious. Okay, this is like a probably, this is like an hour thing that's going on. So she goes up to, like, the guy that ends up being one of her teammates, just like a guy that happened to be at the event as well. This is like a day later. And she tells him, and he flips out, okay? And he looks at her and goes, let's find the guy. This is bullshit. So they storm off, and now I'm left with his wife, his daughter, and his son, who are teenagers, giving me the death eyes, crossing their arms.
Look at the stink eye from
listen, the stink eye, crossing their arms and tapping their feet, right? And you guys won't even believe this. This is crazy. So the daughter looks at me, and I still have a smile on my face. I'm telling you, it was painted on for that whole hour. And the girl looks at me. She must be 14 or 15 years old, and she's got her arms crossed, and she's tapping her foot, and she says, I know you. And I was like, yeah. She goes, I took a picture with you last year. And I'm like, yeah. And it was like, not that she was like telling me, she was like yelling at me and like how disgusted she was that her father lost the golf tournament. And I think she was upset that she had taken a picture with me last year. I was like, oh my God, I need to get to the bar and get wine as soon as possible. This is psycho.
Oh, so man, that's all I got for you guys.
I got a lot more, but obviously, you know, things need to be moving.
On the switchboard waiting to talk mob wives with you.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk mob wives. But before we do that...
Whoops.
Well, before we do that, I thought it was a good intro. Before we do that, Paul, before you play the mob wife song, I can see where this is going to go. We need to do what we have not done yet tonight.
The views expressed by guests and callers into the Rad Reality Show are not necessarily the views of the host or the sponsors of the Rad Reality Show and are for entertainment purposes only. Some assembly may be required and batteries are not included.
And now...
Thank you very much.
Miss Michelle from the Bronx.
What?
Oh! Asa! Sorry, Michelle, I thought he was going to let me get you up on the phone line first, but...
it's okay, Cherry. How are you, Cherry? Hey, Paul. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, wifey.
Hey, wifey. Glad to have you back on the East Coast, nice and safe.
Yes, yes. Safe and sound, a little exhausted, a lot of things I want to remember, and there's a couple things I might want to forget.
Well, I loved watching you over the weekend. Great entertainment, so... I'm glad you went, and I'm glad I got to follow you and all your little tweet pics and your Facebook pics and everything. Awesome.
Oh,
thank
fantastic.
You so much for
sharing. Fantastic. I'm glad that you liked it.
I got another person that wants to talk mob wives with us.
Let's do it.
Whoops.
Oh, wow, she just went away.
Well,
oh,
I
no.
just before we talk mob wives, I just want to say, I don't know if you guys could hear it, but when Philip is on, did it sound like there was like kind of like a hawk or something squirking in the background?
That
was me
singing.
No, there's I have a lot of unlike you, Michelle, this is why I wanted to say you have beers. I have like exotic, like, I don't know, flamingos. I don't even know what it is. All I know is I can hear it all the time. But I don't know what it is. It's some sort of stork or something. So you're not the only one living in the wilderness, honey.
Okay, we're going to bring one more person up before we go to Mob Wise. Miss Dina, how are you? I'm so glad you're back and able to call in and talk Mob Wise with us.
Good evening.
Hello,
hey,
Miss
Dina.
Na 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 Dina na 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 na.
Wow, work. Yeah. Go with
Did you like
it,
that
baby.
Intro,
go
girl?
With it. So,
hey,
Dina.
Hey, it's baby girl. Ain't this some wild shit? Let's just cut through the shit.
Let's just cut to the end.
Okay, I'm telling you, the longer the season goes on, the more tears I am crying. And I never expected that from Mob Wives to do that to me. But my heart is freaking breaking left and right now because I absolutely know the feelings that she has. And, because of what I used to see, I'm beyond blown away that Jennifer Graziano did such a great job with editing all of this down, and while she has her father being reincarcerated, you know?
I go through times of, tears, but then I also go through periods of absolute just plain old being so pissed off I want to punch something.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's moving. It moves you in every kind of emotion that you can ever think all at the same time, and you really don't know what to do. You want to punch, you want to scream, you want to hide, you want to kick, you want to fucking drown yourself in alcohol. And it's like, oh, my God, you feel so much involved in what's happening in their life. It's crazy.
I know.
I also want to throw a straight jacket into that little mix there.
Yeah, throw a straight jacket in there. Hell yeah.
You could get your hands on Junior. Oh, my gosh.
But let me ask you something, ladies. In all honesty, when you take your ex back, bottom line, isn't that like going to the damn yard sale and taking back the same somebody else's, your own trash again?
It's your ex for a reason. It's your ex for a reason.
Yeah, but
you
never let him go.
Absolutely. So, when she says she's to blame for this shit, hell yes, she's to blame for it. Quit babying up and quit feeling all crybaby and all this bullshit. You brought this shit up on yourself.
No, I don't. But she did make a very selfish point.
I
agree with that wholeheartedly, though. You can't help what your heart feels sometimes.
Well, she wanted her son. She wanted her son to have a family and to have his dad back.
But did you guys hear what she said, which I was kind of like, you selfish bitch, because kind of in a little way, I think, yeah, she absolutely loves him, adores him, and I've been there, so who am I to say you don't take back an ex? But did you guys hear how she was like, I don't have anybody to call. If anything happens, I can't call my dad. I can't call Junior. I have to be on my own. It's like, honey, you should have been on your own a while ago. Like, because you feel like you need that backup, like, maybe she's going to get so much better off having this whole bullshit happen to her, because she's going to finally have to stand on her own two feet, and there will be nobody she can call. So
Carla
maybe
Carla was right when she said that maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to Renee, except I think it's going to really break her heart that her father is reincarcerated, and I think that it's going to hurt her as well, that knowing that her son is going to have to know that, it was his father that put him there.
That's right.
I don't know. I know that it's in one way it's going to be a good thing that she is going to be independent now, but I think it's really going to hurt her psyche to know how it all came about. So I don't know.
Her father's sitting in prison while her ex is under witness protection plan.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that
also next week, right, what do they show? More people getting put away because of what he probably recorded, but not just the father. He's not just going to record her father. He's recording everything.
Mm-hmm. I said it a while ago that when he came out, that pretty much was his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Once he was released and he was at the halfway house, I think that's when he was just like, yo, I need to do this. But
that was a very, very powerful scene when she sat down with AJ last night at that dinner table. And there was, his face is bowing down towards his lap, because he's having to look his mother in the eye and say, now I'm, my grandfather versus my father. And no matter
what's going on. Dina, it was a powerful moment, but what the hell? What are they doing that in public in a restaurant?
Because that's what they're getting paid to do now.
It's not. I'm going to tell you, Staten Island is not that big where they're filming. That's why they always say when somebody is talking to Staten Island, like in that crowd, like everybody knows your business, it's a reason. I can tell you, Paul, if Staten Island was, example, if Staten Island was 40 miles, 3 miles of it would be where that group hangs out. But that's not the obvious mileage. But I'm just explaining to you, it's a very small, tight community. You stay within that block. So it's not like they have a lot of places that they can film at.
TMZ, a three-mile zone instead of 30.
Hey, Michelle Costa, what did you think about Carla last night? I mean,
you know,
to the wall. What?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved, you know, Carla. I just thought that I don't think that she was like, oh, she knew what was going on. Like, there was probably a lot of the conversation, what they showed is that she kind of said she had an idea what was going on. Yeah, I'm sure that Renee thought there was something going on, but the last thing from her mind is that he's wearing a wire. The main thing on her mind is that he was cheating.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing with that is that she can't believe, oh, my God, that he betrayed our father and our family, and he's a rat, but he's also a cheater and a liar and a manipulator. So that kind of all comes with the same thing. If he's willing to cheat on you after all these years, do you really put it past him that he would do anything else? To me, he's kind of showing his colors, and, you know, you have to think at times he's doing bad stuff and he's cheating on you. He could really care less about you in that aspect that he may dabble in one day trying to save his ass. Because to him, he's built these other lives outside of that, that's not his only thing that he has to live and die for. I feel like he's had probably relationships where he's built with people that he knows that if he's in that situation, he can go to that person and start a life with them and they can move on and move away and paint their hair purple and live a happy life. So I really don't think he really cares in that scenario.
Roxy, I don't know if you've got any inside info from websites or whatever, but why aren't they doing sit-downs now?
I'm sure it has to do with a bunch of conflict and the cases. So they can't talk about a lot of the stuff. I haven't seen anything for an actual reason, but that would be what I would deduce from the situation. You know, it's still ongoing. It's a federal investigation. So it's best to just not talk right now about what they're airing. Let the buzz, let them show it, and then let everything, you know, sort of die down a little bit. And then they can have it, talk a little bit about it on the reunion. I doubt very much that they're going to hit on a high point with this. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think they're going to have a finale? Do you think they're going to have a finale?
Well, yeah, they probably only have about three or four more episodes left because they're doing Chicago Mob Wives.
Well, I shouldn't say finale, where they all sit down at the end and they kind of have their...
Yeah.
But they probably will have something where a lawyer will probably put out there that they're not allowed to talk about the case.
They're always going to say that. They'll probably be them standing in the background. There'll probably be a couple of mob guys hanging out or, let me say, security guys hanging out. But, yeah, for sure, I really think that they're going to protect everybody because it's Jennifer Graziano, the producer of the show, her father, Renee's her sister. There's no way they're going to allow it to be, like, you know, target practice. Because there's too many individuals that can get hurt, and it's all the women and their kids that are all, you know, are vulnerable at this point. So I do not see a reason for them to have a sit-down right now. However, I did miss it, you know. I know that they're doing a bunch of other talk shows that they're going around and making the circuit, but that's pretty much it. Mostly Renee and Karen.
Yeah.
One thing that Carla did touch on, and she's 100% right, you know, Renee is bipolar. Renee does need medication. She definitely needed the therapy. You know, she does, when you watch every episode, she's after somebody else. There's somebody else in that group. And there's only four of them. So there's only she's bouncing from the one person to the next person. She was Carla was absolutely 100% right. And Carla doesn't appear to be one that wants drama or likes drama. And she saw all that crap go down at the cabin. So she was just like, you know, I don't need this in my life right now. I'm trying to get my crap on track. So let Renee, you know, put one foot in, you know, the pool and the other foot in the sand and decide where she wants to be pulled to, you know, shore or, you know, water. So I don't know. I can tell you right now that I'm being myself emotionally involved in this, and I feel almost like I'm violating what I used to do. And that's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, these episodes are so intense. It's just, it's hard to watch a lot.
It really is
hard to watch. Let's talk about something else. What did you guys think about Jada backing out of the boxing match?
Oh, my God. I love that she went nuts. I loved it that she went nuts. All of a sudden, she went into blackout mode. She got popped in the head, and she's throwing a kick. And when she bent over, I thought that she was crying and had an emotional thing, but she started laughing. I think that she's right. She's got modeling going on. She can't take that chance. And fighting is fighting.
I agree with you 100%. Here's where I have a problem. If you come on being the badass of the badasses, and I'm going to whip your ass, and then you go on national television and let a camera say, boo-hoo-hoo, I can't do this now because of money. You know what? She should have her ass kicked for just doing this.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. She made a logical choice. Well, absolutely logical, but don't be a badass all year long and talk about I'm going to punch you and I've had this problem since I was 6 years old, and then when it comes time to do it, then back out. I'm not buying that.
She should have never said anything in the first place. She should have not said that she was going to do it because she was modeling and she was doing all that shit. And if anything, she should at least fought one fight, at least one.
Wow, I'm so on the other side of the fence with you guys tonight. I think that it was awesome that her trainer thought that she can fight, wanted to put her into the ring, thought that she was capable of handling it. It is not a money-making thing. It is more of an athletic thing, and athletes do box. You know, Layla Ali, you know, I'll just throw that out there. I saw her box. Awesome. In Harlem, we did an event down there, and she fucking came out. Frazier's daughter, she was there. I saw her box. It's more or less, boxing is one thing. Using boxing to get rid of aggression is another whole thing. She can't turn it off, so boxing is not going to be beneficial to her. She does not have the off switch yet. She hasn't found it somewhere in her brain for that. So I like that she said that she was going to do it and then backed out of it after sparring and seeing that she doesn't have that control yet. She can get really hurt. I don't mind that she's a badass. I don't mind that she blanks out. I don't mind that she throws punches. I don't mind it at all.
You know, but I'm speaking from being a boxer for 8 years. I boxed for 8 years. You know, I did the training. I did all that. And you don't tell somebody you're going to do a fight and have them train you, you know, and put all this emphasis and all their heart and soul into it, because my trainer put his heart and soul into me. And
right.
The one thing that I said is, I'm not going to let you down.
Right, but that was, this guy is only with her for a couple of sessions, right, very short time. Couldn't have been anything more than 6 months. And she was using it as an aggression deterrent and also to stay in shape. He probably threw out the idea, and he probably said, hey, listen, I'm not going to not like you if you say no or if you ever want to back out. I understand. You know, I mean, if he had a long-term relationship like you would have for 8 years, then I could say, yo, why are you punking out? Because I know Costa would never punk out.
Yeah.
You know what the best part of the show last night was? I think the best part of the show last night was seeing less of Ramona. That was
his
part last night. Not seeing Ramona. Not having to look at her lying, cheating ass every 5 minutes. Stirring up more crap. It was so okay.
I need to say something here and break in. We are going to go over into podcast tonight. We have 1 minute 25 seconds here. So to those of you
all right, well,
in the
let's
chat
finish,
room,
so let's just finish up
I
the show,
to say
you know.
Goodbye to all of you, and thank you so much for stopping by and listening to our show tonight. This is going to go into podcast, so you won't hear our farewells tonight. But thank you so much for coming to the show. We'll finish our discussion, and it will go into podcast. But if you want to hear the rest of it, you can come back and listen to the podcast and hear the remaining portion of the show on podcast.
Our show after the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to finish this up, too, because I got to go take care of some things. So.
Can I make a left turn on you guys real quick?
Sure.
All right, I did not get a chance to hear the podcast last night, but I heard that, Paul, you did get your shirt. And, Jerry, I know that you got your shirt, so thank you, Lola.
Yes,
for
Lola.
Oh, you guys got your shirt?
Yes, and Michelle, I have to talk to you after, but yes, they got there.
Oh, but
so.
I kept that secret for that long. Thank God it's over. Jeez, I've been like, oh, my God, when is this shirt going to get there? Because I didn't want to freaking say anything, because I know, like, Cherry's like, I need to go get one of those shirts, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, okay, next, I'm just going to fade away from this question.
Yeah. It was tough. It was really tough. I won't even tell you how many phone calls and messages I was making. And I was like, oh, Lola, I just can't do it. I can't. And then I wound up at the same time that she got the message to Cherry, I wound up getting Cherry's mailing address. And I was like, dang. But, yeah, so there was a lot of little hustling going on behind the scenes here. All right, sorry.
And
let's get back to Mob Wives.
And then Cherry calls me up and when she comes in the mail, and she said, check your mail, Paul, check your mail. And I checked, and it wasn't there that day, and then I didn't check it the next day, and she called,
Cherry!
Did you check it yet? She was going nuts. She wanted to share the joy with me. And
his mailbox isn't right outside his door. He has to drive to where his mailbox is, and he oftentimes will let it get so full that the mailman won't even deliver his mail.
Hey.
I had to tell him, make sure you check your mail, and so that there's room for something to go in there, and
no,
and
Cherry,
then,
I can't. You, all right. Well, I got your addresses for the next thing, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, that's good.
All right. So, Mob Wives, can't wait for next week. I know it's going to be, you know, another tear-jerking. I go through the emotions with Renee big time. And it takes me a little while to, like, recover from it. I'm noticing it.
Well,
and I guess it's just me.
Her volumes. I know that she's got a few laying around, so we'll just tap into her volume stash and give you one right along with her. And you
yes.
can just fill the hell out.
Yeah, next week should be interesting because, boy, they leave with some juicy stuff. I mean, another new New York Post opening up and phone calls, letting people know that people are getting put away left and right. So, holy crap. And now, you know, Renee's going to have to deal with the backlash of what thinks for Junior left her that she's got to freaking deal with while he's in witness protection program, probably sucking and fucking and all that stuff. That's why we have a disclaimer up because I saw that.
Bam!
Ow! Bow! Ow! Ow! And anyway, so I'm interested to see how it all works out and pans out, and be prepared to have another Renee meltdown.
Yeah, I think that it's just ongoing. Even just her side commentaries that they're bringing her back in to do these, you can see it's just her reliving it, and it's horrible. Now, I don't know if anybody remembers on season one, she started this whole thing about getting money to the commissary for these people that are incarcerated. And I wonder if that is now stopped or how long it's been stopped for, because she still has some feelings for him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she actually, it's probably growing and growing, seeing that a lot of her friends need the commissary.
That was
a low blow. Ow. But no. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle and Dina for calling in and talking Mob Wives. I hope
thank
you guys enjoyed
you.
Our Philip on earlier. I hope you got to listen to him. He was a pleasure to have on.
I've been sitting in the chat room the whole time.
Oh,
I want
good,
to hear
good.
Your stories.
Michelle.
Well, I got more stories, but gosh
Michelle,
darn it, let's not talk
you.
About them now.
I'm going to miss you next week.
Yes, next week you guys are going to have to take over. Make me proud, as I know you will.
Would you do me a favor, Costa? Would you do me a favor? And while it's still kind of fresh in your mind, just jot down a few bullet points of your memories for this weekend. So 2 weeks from now, you won't say, "Oh, I've forgotten everything."
No, I don't think I'll forget. It'll be still be embedded in my brain. How am I going to forget that I won the golf tournament against my golf pro roommate and she had a hissy fit and, you know, all the other stuff, Elisa's fight, and all the good stuff
that
happened between.
Did somebody throw up and fall down too?
There was a few people that did.
Yeah.
There was a lot. I don't want to spoil it, but the thing about it too is that that following week, I'm going to try to see if I can get the Expedition Impossible people on. But that next week, I may make it. I may not, because I'm doing a golf charity, which I'll have to get back to you, Cherry and Paul, about that. But I'm going to want to discuss that weekend of May 5th and 6th, because I will be doing the Tough Mudder with Richard Hatch and Biggest Loser, Patrick, Fredo, Mark, Scott Herman. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on, and another weekend packed full with stories that I'm going to bring you. And I'm going to tell it is.
For the few that might come back and listen, or the few that are listening now and will listen to the podcast, there's also this Sunday is, I think Sunday night or whatever, is when that epic race thing that Jody Winchesky and Eliza Orleans and I can't think of the other two women are doing that 24-hour thing. Did you hear about that, Michelle?
I did not, no. I heard about it like a few months ago, but I haven't heard about it. And supposedly Michelle Noonan's love the dating boat or the cruise boat or cruise dating.
Love
okay, well, that will be on Lifetime this week, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Jen DiTerno is what, like in 2 more weeks after that, I think.
Yep. So, all right, so we have a lot of things we'll be talking about.
Yep.
Paul and Cherry are going to be filling in everybody, so I will be filling them in, they'll be filling me in, there'll be a lot of filling in, and there'll be a lot of disclaimers,
cool?
I'm sure, about it. Seeing that they're filling in, you better have a disclaimer.
Touching that.
No, well, gosh, wifey. But, all right, let's close out the show. Thank you again, Dina and Michelle. And once again, Paul and Cherry, fabulous co-hosts that I have. Great job, as usual.
Thanks,
making sure the back scenes are run properly and also the front scenes. So now it's time for you guys to do the back scenes. And here, let's go.
Well, thank you all again. I want to close out with Ron, as we always do. Take care, everyone. Be kind to each other. And here's Ron.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. I've had so much fun. You guys take care. Enjoy your evening. We hope to see you back on Thursday with Dragon Slayer Radio with the Real Coach Wade at 10 p.m. Eastern. Take care. Good night.
Good night, all.